Thank our sister very much for coming and ministering in song tonight. We pray the Lord will bless that message to every heart, and that every one of us might look forward to the coming of the Lord, be saved and ready for heaven, and looking for that day of His great appearing. We thank our sister for coming, and we pray the Lord would bless her and use her for the Lord's honour and for the Lord's glory in His service. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to 2 Timothy, to the chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. There's just one part of a verse I want to read with you, share some thoughts with you around tonight. And it's the latter half of verse number 12 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Let me just read those words with you there in the middle of that verse. Paul here is speaking, and he says in the middle of verse 12 of 2 Timothy 1, he says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Amen. Let us bow, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us tonight. We thank Thee for our sister's ministry and song, and bless the messages and the truths of these great hymns to our hearts, we pray. We pray that every soul in this meeting would be ready and waiting and watching and looking for the return of the Savior. We thank Thee also for our brother David's report, and we commit him to Thee, his wife and his family, over these next few weeks, that Thou would bless them, that Thou would keep them safe in all their travels. And as they would go to Guinea in Thy will for the next few weeks, we pray that Thou would use them there mightily, Lord, to encourage and bless and to strengthen the work of God, even as instruments in Thy hand in that land. Lord, bless us now as we come afresh to Thy Word. We rejoice that Thy Word is truth, that it is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, as we consider this great verse, Lord, we pray that Thou would bless it to the encouragement of every child of God in this meeting. We pray that Thou would bless it likewise to the salvation of those who are still lost and outside of Christ. To this end, cleanse me, Lord, in the blood. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, and pour out Thy Spirit upon this congregation. We ask and we pray for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, Michael Faraday was a great Christian scientist, and the scientific achievements led to the discovery of electricity. Whenever he was leaving this world, journalists asked him the question, "Have you any speculations about life after death?" And he replied by saying, "Speculations, I know nothing about speculations. I am resting on certainties. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and because He lives, I shall live also." You see, Michael Faraday, in uttering those words, was testifying of the fact that he had the wonderful assurance that after this life, he would enter into God's heaven. And the great Apostle Paul speaks about the same assurance in his own life. In the words of our text tonight here in 2 Timothy 1, in the verse number 12, where he says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." At this juncture in his life, Paul is now an old man. He's near the end of his life. He is in prison in Rome for the gospel. Soon he will be martyred for his faith and for his witness for the Savior. And as he writes this verse, and indeed as he writes this entire letter, he seeks to encourage Timothy, a young Christian, a young elder, a young pastor in the work of God in Ephesus, to remain faithful to the Lord, to the work of God, and to the cause of Christ. And by these words here in verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that no matter what happens in this life or in this scene of time, every born-again Christian, every child of God, whoever he is, whoever she is sure of eternal life and heaven. Tonight, friends, for a little while, it is these great words of 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 that I want us to consider. as we would face in the light of God's word tonight this great issue of the assurance of eternal life after this scene of time. You may be assured of many things in this life and that concern you personally, but let me ask you in this meeting tonight, have you the assurance in your heart that you are going to heaven and that you are going home to glory to partake of everlasting life? That's the all-important matter I want us to think about and to contemplate this evening as we look at these words. Notice first of all with me the ground here of Paul's assurance to this eternal life. Notice what he says again in our text. He says, "For I know whom I have believed." And here Paul speaks of knowing Christ as his Savior from sin. He says, "For I know whom I have believed." This was the ground of his assurance of eternal life. You see, in the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, as he was known then, he had a saving encounter with the risen Christ. And that day, Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, he repented of his sins before God. And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. He came to trust in Christ's finished work alone for his salvation. He could say, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You see, Paul realized that the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, paid the penalty of his sin in full when he died upon the cross. He could speak of Christ and he could say, "The Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And with that understanding as a penitent sinner, he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from his sins. Speaking of the precious blood of Christ, he could say of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He was resting upon Christ for his salvation, for the forgiveness of all of his sins. He was leaning upon, trusting in the precious shed blood of the Savior, Christ the Redeemer. Friends, this is why he had this wonderful assurance that all was well between him and God. This is why he could say in this text, "For I know whom I have believed." He was believing on Christ. He was trusting Christ as his Savior and for his salvation. Oh, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me ask, how is it with you in this gospel service tonight? Can you say in your heart of hearts tonight, "Yes, preacher, I'm saved from hell tonight, and I'm sure of heaven, I'm sure of glory"? Friend, if you are to have such an assurance then, like Paul, you too must have a saving encounter with God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hymn writer could say, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." They were resting on Christ. Tell me, is that your testimony tonight? Can you say amen to those words written by that hymn writer many years ago? And can you say, "That's my testimony. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? Oh, friend, if you cannot say amen to those words, then I would urge you now tonight in this gospel service to come as a penitent sinner to Christ and to trust him tonight as your Savior, just as you are. The good news of the gospel is that Christ himself, he invites you to come. Many times throughout his word, he exhorts you to come. You think of his tremendous words in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friend, if you are to have the assurance of eternal life in your soul, then you need a saving encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior. It's not coming to the church that will save you, be it this church or any other church. It is not coming to the waters of baptism that will save you. They cannot save your soul. It is not coming to the Lord's table that will save you. It is not good works. It is not self-righteousness. It is not all the wealth that you may possess, friend, to be saved, to have the assurance of eternal life. You must come to know Christ as your Savior. As Paul could say in our text tonight as he spake of Christ, "For I know whom I have believed." He knew Christ. He was trusting in Christ to be a Savior. Friend, how is it with you tonight? I was speaking to an elderly gentleman the other day about his need of salvation. He's well on in years. And the words he said to me was this, "I'm too old to be saved. It's too late for me to be saved." How sad. Man deceived by the lie of Satan, thinking that he was too old to be saved, thinking that it was too late for him to be saved. Friend, tonight you and I are in the day of opportunity. You and I are in the day of grace. And the Lord calls you tonight in His Word. He says, "Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart." That day on the road to Damascus, Christ met with Paul. And He spoke to Paul. Paul responded and said, "Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do?" He yielded to Christ. He trusted Christ. Friend, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Yes, we see the ground of Paul's assurance to eternal life. But notice secondly tonight the sufficiency of Paul's assurance to eternal life. Notice again what he says in this great verse. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." In that verse there, notice how Paul, as he speaks of Christ, uses the word "able" in regard to Christ. He says, "He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." And that little word "able" highlights the fact to you and I that the Lord Jesus Christ is an altogether sufficient Savior. He's a mighty Savior. The Bible says He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. There's no lack with Christ in salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ in the Old Testament book of Isaiah and says He is mighty to save. And as Paul spoke of Christ to Timothy, he said He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He was resting upon a Savior who was almighty, who was altogether sufficient. Oh friend, in our meeting tonight, please realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is an altogether sufficient Savior. You might ask the question, why? And rightly so. The answer to that question is because Christ was God manifest in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He was the sinless Son of God. And as the sinless Son of God, He provided a perfect sacrifice for sinners upon the cross of Calvary when He cried out, "It is finished." By His perfect life, He kept the law of God perfectly for us. And by His death upon the cross, He satisfied in full the penalty of God's law for us who had sinned against God. He had satisfied the demands of God's law in full, and He paid that penalty in full. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "But this man offered one sacrifice for sin forever." Oh, by His sacrifice upon the cross and by His death, the Lord Jesus Christ, He paid the penalty of our sin in full. And by His resurrection from the dead is proof that God accepted His sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. My, He is a mighty Savior. He is an altogether sufficient Savior. Friend, the Bible declares the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is not one sin that the blood of Christ cannot deal with. The blood of Christ can cleanse you from all sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins the just, for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God." He's a mighty Savior. He's a sufficient Savior who can bring you who are afar off tonight into the immediate presence of God, can bring you nigh unto God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Oh, there's healing tonight for you, dear sinner, and the wounds of Christ upon the cross. My, through His atoning death upon the cross, Christ is an almighty Savior. He is able to save you from the power of sin. Whatever the chains of sin are that bind your life, He can set you free. The Bible says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved from the penalty of all your sin. You can know your sins forgiven, praise God, this side of eternity. And my, ultimately, one day through Christ, you can be saved from the very presence of sin itself in heaven's glory. He's a mighty Savior. He's an altogether sufficient Savior. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Christ coming as he spake to the Jewish people? He said of Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He pointed the people to Christ. The Lamb of God. Friend unsaved, I point you tonight to Christ, the Lamb of God, to be saved from your sin. Sir James Simpson was a Christian scientist who made many mighty discoveries in his field of science. And he was asked, "What was the greatest discovery you have made?" And he replied to that question by saying, "My greatest discovery was when I learned that I was a sinner. And when I took the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior." He was rejoicing in Christ as a mighty Savior, as a sufficient Savior. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is altogether sufficient to save you. Whoever you are in this meeting unsaved, Christ is able. He is able to save you to the very uttermost. And I commend Him tonight to you. I commend Him to your trust. Lay hold upon Christ with the hand of faith. And trust Him as your Savior, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same as He was to Paul and Timothy. He has not changed. He says, "I am the Lord. I change not." He's a mighty Savior. I was speaking to a believer the other day, a man who's been saved for many years, over 40 years. And he described being saved like this. He says, "I reached out my hand of faith to Him. And He put His arms around me," he says, "and He's kept me to this very day." And he said, "He's sweeter as the days go by." He served for many years in the RUC Reserve and also in the Ulster Defence Regiment. And he said as he would go out on duty, he would pray each night that the Lord would be near him and that the Lord would keep him safe. He says, "I found the Lord true to His word. He's kept me to this very day." And he was rejoicing in the Lord. A man saved for many, many years because he knows Christ as a Savior and has proved Him as a mighty Savior. Friend, He can save you. He's an almighty Savior. He's an altogether sufficient Savior. But notice one final thing in connection with our text tonight. Notice the consolation here of Paul's assurance to eternal life. Look again at our text and notice what he says. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able and to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." You'll notice there at the end of verse 12 how Paul speaks of that day. What is that day that he's thinking of there? What is that day that he is speaking of there? That day, it refers to the day of God's judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again in power and on great glory. And on that day, the great white throne judgment of God will take place. And in that judgment, all the nations of the world will be gathered before Christ. And all who are unsaved, all who are unrepentant, all who do not have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be judged for their sins. And they shall be cast into hell. The Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Paul is thinking of that day as he writes this verse. And as he thinks of this day of days when Christ will come and will judge the world in righteousness, Paul himself has nothing to fear. Why? Because through faith in the atoning blood of Christ, all his sins have been forgiven by God. He could say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And with all his sins pardoned through Christ's blood, he had no judgment for sin to fear, because that judgment was fully poured out upon Christ for him upon the cross. He could say in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. With his sins forgiven, no judgment to face, Paul could look forward to heaven. He was sure of heaven. He could say, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Turn back there to 2 Corinthians and to the chapter number 5 and look at his great assurance of heaven in his soul as he writes there in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He could look forward to heaven. He knew he was safe and secure from the day of God's judgment because his faith was in Christ, in the atoning work of Christ. He knew Christ as his Savior. Likewise, my friend, at our meeting tonight, whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, you too will have nothing to fear on the day of judgment. God will forgive all your sins. He says in his word, and God cannot lie, he says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake. My, his word tells you that when you know Christ as your Savior, you are delivered from the wrath to come. His word says, by his blood we shall be saved from wrath through him. And my, you are sure of heaven. You're guaranteed a place in heaven. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Paul had this life in his soul. Timothy, to whom he wrote this letter, had this life in his soul. Friend, let me ask, have you that life in your soul tonight? Have you got Christ as your Savior? The hymn writer could say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit. Washed in the blood, she was looking forward to heaven, looking forward to glory. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved, I urge you tonight to come as a repentant sinner to the Lord. Rest upon Christ. Put your trust in Christ and in his precious blood. And then you too, of Paul, will be able to say assuredly, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Don't go away tonight without the Lord. Come and trust him, whom to know is life eternal.